MacCast, Friday, February 25th, 2005. Hey Mac Geeks, it's time for the MacCast, the show for Mac Geeks by Mac Geek. I'm Adam, and this is the show where we discuss all things Macintosh. Alright, well, since I guess I didn't do a full show on Wednesday, I have just a ton of stuff to cover for everybody, so I'm going to just jump right into it, and we'll run through everything. The show will probably run a little bit long, but I think that's okay. We just got to fit it all in. I should probably mention once again that my opening theme song is provided by band Manda and the Marbles. The track is called Say Anything, and it's available on their latest album, Angels with Dirty Faces. Visit them at mandandthemarbles.com for more details and if you want to purchase their CD. Also, if you do, make sure to send them an email or let them know you heard the track on the MacCast. So on Wednesday's show, I talked to you about Apple's new iPod lineups, and there turns out to be some stuff that I didn't mention, and a lot of people wrote in and let me know some things I missed. I got in late from my New York trip on Wednesday evening, and I just had a quick time to scan through the press releases and things like that, so I didn't get all the details. Probably the biggest thing that I actually missed was the fact that even though the prices dropped on everything, Apple seems to have figured out a way to cut their costs on all these new products so that even though the price drops seem really extreme, they're not quite exactly what we thought. And I'll let you know what I'm talking about here. On the iPod minis, they are no longer including a FireWire cable, which retails for about $19 to $20, or the wall charger, which retails for about $29. On the wall charger, I will say I have my iPod, and I have yet to ever use the wall charger. I always charge through the FireWire cable. And in the case of the iPod minis, they now actually, they include the USB 2.0 cable, and they can charge through that cable as well. So it makes sense. Apple's probably getting rid of the FireWire cable, because they obviously market the product to both PC and Macintosh users. And as PC users know, and maybe Mac users don't, most PCs these days do not include or do not come standard with a FireWire port, but they do come standard with a USB 2.0 port. So by including the one cable, the USB 2.0 cable, they actually cover both Mac and PC users with one cable, because all new Mac models do include USB 2.0. On the iPod photo models, there's even more missing. So even though it seems like a huge price drop on that top-end one, and we had a listener make some comments about the fact that he felt a little gypped with the huge price drop, that price drop actually ends up being a lot less when you consider the fact that he got a TV cable, a cable for connecting his iPod photo to his TV. That's no longer included. The dock is no longer included. The carrying case is no longer included. And the FireWire cable is no longer included. So all those accessories total up, I think, about $70 US. $70 US. So it's not quite as bad as it first seemed. The other thing that I didn't mention was that there was, along with the announcement of the new iPods, there was a new iPod software update. And the update covered all of the models, and I'm going to run down real quickly what the updates were for you. On the iPod mini, the software update added support for the new models, the new 6GB model, and added support for charging and syncing over USB if you're using Mac OS 10.2.8 or 10.3 or 0.4 or later. The update for the iPod Shuffle includes software that supports the iPod Shuffle battery pack, which is the little add-on battery pack that extends, I think, your Shuffle battery life, I don't know, up to like 20 hours or something like that. Basically, it's a little add-on device that Apple makes, and I don't think it's available yet, but once it's available, you'll be able to put two AA batteries into it and extend the battery life of your iPod Shuffle. It also, the iPod Shuffle update also includes increased software stability. And finally, for all the other iPods, the iPods with dock connectors, touch wheels, or scroll wheels, the update adds the shuffle songs and music menus to the main menu and adds support for iTunes 4.7. I have a second generation iPod. I installed the update And I'm not so sure how I feel about the new music menu. The music menu basically is a top-level menu, and you click on music, and then you go in and you see all the menus for playlist, genre. I guess that's how all the new model iPods looked, and it brings the older ones in line with the new models. But the shuffle songs option is really great. Right from the front menu, the top menu of the iPod, there's now a new menu called Shuffle Songs, and when you click on that, it just goes right into shuffle mode. So it kind of brings some of that iPod shuffle philosophy to the iPod, the other model iPods. I don't know if this was available on the third and fourth generation iPods before, but a great new feature. I really like it. Another new accessory from Apple that was announced that I think this one is really awesome is the new Apple's going to be selling for the iPod Photo an iPod digital camera connector. It's supposed to be available by the end of March, and it's going to retail for $29. What it's going to allow you to do, it's a USB 2 cable, I believe, that's going to allow you to connect your digital camera directly to your iPod Photo, and then you'll be able to transfer pictures from your digital camera to the iPod Photo without the use of a computer. So this is really cool. It's going to be a way for you to really save a ton of pictures when you're out and about directly to your iPod and not have to fuss around with the memory cards and things like that. So that's really cool. I'd be excited to see how that works. Makes me wish I was able to afford an iPod Photo. But if you have an iPod Photo, great new accessory, and it's at a really great price, $29. So to go along with the new iPod Photos, Apple has revamped the iPod Photo packaging. And I have a picture up on the MacCast website, maccast.com. And basically, they have made thinner packaging to go along with the thinner iPods. I don't know if I mentioned before that all the new iPods are, the new iPod Photos are thinner than the older versions. But so the packaging is also thinner, and it includes, it's got a foil lettering to it. So the lettering is foil. From the picture I have, it looks kind of gold. I'm not sure if it's gold or silver. I'm going to have to wait to see it in the store before I can figure it out. But then also, they de-emphasize the word photo. The word photo is a lot smaller and just appears right in the middle of the package towards the bottom. You can take a look at it on the website if you want to get a look at it in more detail. There's a new report out from Bank of America. That's BANC, so I'm not sure it's the same as the financial institution. That Apple, they're expecting Apple to sell 1.2 million iPod Shuffles by the end of the first quarter in March. And that's, I guess, a raised estimate from originally they had predicted 700,000 iPod Shuffles being sold by the end of March. And they think that it may even go higher. So that's just amazing, you guys. 1.2 million iPod Shuffles in one quarter. That's just unbelievable. And, you know, obviously we already talked about the fact that Apple can't really keep up with demand for these things. So great news for Apple. That's helping the stock price and helping Apple. So like to see it. So here's something about the Mac Mini that I didn't know about until just today. I saw a report over on CNET from a reporter, Jeff Pelline. And he's saying that he ordered his Mac Mini on the first day Apple released them, and he was all excited about it, but he wanted the Bluetooth and AirPort options. And apparently, and I didn't know this, when you signed up for those options, you had two things that you could do. I guess the two options weren't available to ship in the Mac Mini right away. So you could either wait until Apple had those ready and was able to install them for you and ship them out to you, or you could have your Mac Mini shipped to you, and then when those two upgrades became available, Apple would ship you the upgrades and you could take it to any Apple authorized reseller and have them installed. Well, according to Jeff, he is still waiting for those options, and it's almost a month later. So I guess Apple's really behind in getting those updates out. I'm not sure if you ordered one of the new models now with those upgrades, if you'd be getting it right away. If anybody else out there has a Mac Mini and can confirm this story, I'd really appreciate hearing from you. Send email or audio comment to maccast@gmail.com and let us know what's going on. Okay, good news for our friends up in Canada. Well, at least in the Toronto area. Apple is going to open their first Canadian Apple store. It's planned to open on May 21st, and it's going to be in the Yorkdale Shopping Center in Toronto, Canada. Apple also plans to open at least 4 Canadian stores in 2005. So all the those of you up in Canada who've been waiting for the Apple store, they're coming. Just hang in there a little bit longer. I should actually take a minute here to comment on the Apple stores. If you have an Apple store anywhere in your area that you can get to within a reasonable time frame, and you have not been to it, I really suggest that you go and take a look. The stores are just amazing. They're an experience in and of themselves. Just a lot of fun. They have all the software and hardware you could possibly want for your Macintosh. Really helpful people. The people back at the Genius Bar, if you're having any issues with your Macintosh, it's a whole different retail experience than we're used to with like the CompUSAs and all the other channels we normally had to buy our Macs through before the retail stores came out. So if you can get to one and you haven't been to it, highly recommend you going. Another great thing about them, for those of you who are switchers or thinking about switching, is, and you want to get to know Apple's programs, the iLife suite and things like that, all of the Apple stores, I think almost all of them with the exception of the mini stores, have what they call the Apple Store Theater, where they give free seminars and show you how to use all the different applications. So they'll have one like on iTunes, they'll have one on iMovie, on iDVD, and they're free, they're great. And you can get the schedule from Apple's website, apple.com/retail, and they will have the scheduled times of the seminars that they're holding at the Apple stores. So in case you were wondering, the next version of QuickTime, QuickTime Pro 7, which is going to be released with OS X Tiger coming out later this year, the Pro version is going to be a pay-for upgrade, just like all the other major upgrades of QuickTime Pro. So if you have purchased a QuickTime Pro 6.0 license, you're going to have to repurchase a 7.0 license, and the pricing is going to remain the same, so it's going to be another $30 for anybody who wants to get QuickTime Pro. And I actually have QuickTime Pro. I've purchased it, since 4. So I purchased version 4, version 5, version 6. And if you're going to do anything serious on your Macintosh in regards to audio or video, I really recommend getting the upgrade. It's well worth the $30. Even just for the main feature that I use all the time and really need to have is the ability to when I bring up a QuickTime movie on a web page, to be able to save that movie is just the feature I have to have. So I purchased QuickTime Pro just for that. But in addition, you'll be able to convert almost any audio or video signal that you want from one format to another if you have QuickTime Pro. So I highly recommend it. So on a couple of the different podcasts, we've talked about the Macintosh Mini and integrating it into a home theater system, but we haven't really talked about the iPod. And just announced today, Onkyo has announced that they are going to have a home theater interface for the iPod. It's called the Remote Interactive Dock, and it's going to work with all Onkyo, or with a lot of, I guess, existing Onkyo receivers and audio-video systems. It's scheduled to be out in the middle of 2005, and it is going to work with products going back, Onkyo products going back over the last 10 years. Pricing is not available yet, but will be as the release date gets closer. But basically, if you have an Onkyo product, you're going to have some sort of way to interface your iPod with that system. So look forward to seeing what that is, and we'll get more details when it comes out. Another thing that we mentioned was a Mac Mini dock. If you remember, a user by the name of Wordman had a 3D concept, and I actually put a picture up on the MacCast website. If you haven't been over to take a look at it, I suggest you take a look. It's a really cool looking concept. But there's another user that actually took it one step further. Laz Waldo, as he goes by on the net, actually made a dock for his Mac Mini, and I have a link from the show notes, maccast.com, for those, and you can take a look. I also posted a Oh, I didn't post a picture on the website. So, link to it from the show notes. Take a look. It's pretty cool. It's a pretty crude doc, but he has full pictures and a description of how he put it together. So, if you're interested in some sort of dock for your Mac Mini so that you can easily take it with you from here to there, you might want to take a look at what this guy put together. I'm sure there's going to be professional models coming out very, very soon because it just makes sense. Okay, I also mentioned on the MacCast a little while back a website called podbricks.com, and it's actually put together by an artist, and he's releasing limited edition minifigures that are Lego figures. If you guys are familiar with the little Lego men, they basically look like that. The first one he released was kind of a tribute to the iPod ads. Well, he's released the second edition, and actually released at midnight on the 25th, so today. And the new one is called Keynote, and it features a little replica of Steve Jobs giving a keynote speech, and he's holding an iPod shovel. This one was limited to 300 figures and is signed by the artist, and it actually sold out in 36 minutes, so it's no longer available. But if you're interested, go over, take a look, podbricks.com. And there you can actually get on a mailing list to be notified when new releases come out so that you can get online and get your order in before they run out. Next, I want to cover a rumor that we talked about a little bit before on the MacCast. That is that Apple may buy TiVo. And I guess this rumor is getting some more press these days. And because of it, TiVo stock actually jumped up 17% today. Because I guess somebody reported these rumors. I forget where it was. But Apple and TiVo are both denying it. TiVo is actually priced at about $3 million, or valued at about $300 million. But so Apple could easily afford to purchase them. But Smith Barney came out and said that they don't believe Apple would be at all interested in TiVo. And Apple actually made a comment today. The comment said, quote, "The DVR market seems to be a commodity whereby all players will eventually have similar hardware and software longer term, which means that the DVR market really boils down to marketing and branding." So I'm not sure how to read that, but basically they're just saying that Apple's really not interested in purchasing TiVo. It's not a market I guess they're actually interested in getting into. I'm not sure why they wouldn't be interested. I think TiVo is, you know, an amazing product. I personally don't have one, but I've wanted one for a really, really long time, and I've heard nothing but great things about TiVo from the people who have them. So, you know, I don't know. And all this, you know, all this discussion about the Mac Mini becoming sort of Apple's DVR offering, digital video recorder offering, is interesting as well. So, you know, the merger of Apple and TiVo could be really cool. You know, I'm sure it would be an amazing thing for both companies. So I'm not sure why they wouldn't want to go forward with it. But for now, they're denying the rumors, and they're saying it's just not going to happen. And I guess some of the Wall Street analysts and financial analysts are agreeing with them. So now I have a couple little Mac gaming news items. If you're a Mac gamer, you'll be happy to know that Doom 3 has now gone gold, which means it's going to be available to ship March 14th, and it's coming from Aspyr. So you can check out more details at aspyr.com. In addition, Myst 5, it's been announced by that Ubisoft, I think that's how you pronounce it, Ubisoft has hired a company called Beenox to do the conversion of Myst 5, and Myst 5 should be due out for the Macintosh before the end of the year. So I'm looking really forward to that. I love the whole Myst series. I've purchased all of them, and it's just a really great line of puzzle solving games with great, just amazing graphics and environments and storyline behind it. So if you haven't tried out any of the Myst games, I would really recommend picking those up. Doom is fun as well. You know, obviously it's been around a long time, and if you're into first person shooters, I'm sure you're going to want to pick that one up. A couple of MacCasts ago, we talked about a new security hole that left you vulnerable to an email phishing scam. Those are the scams where people send you an email saying that your account's going to be deactivated and you need to verify your information, or, you know, there's been fraudulent charges on your Visa card and you need to verify your information. They provide you a link to a website that looks like it's actually your bank's website or PayPal's website, but it's really a bogus website, and they're trying to get you to provide your account information back to them. And there was a security hole announced that took advantage of something called international domain names, where companies would register domains using international characters. So anything with little fancy accents or characters that looked like the actual characters, the actual English characters. And so you would think you would actually be going to a legitimate website. And it affected the Firefox browser and the Safari browser. Well, Firefox today announced version 1.0.1 of their software, and it updates and patches the hole in the international domain name spoofing scam. So if you haven't picked that up yet, I highly recommend you pick that up. It also increases and improves the stability of Firefox. So I personally have almost exclusively switched to using Firefox both on my Macintosh and my PC. It's absolutely an amazing browser. It's super fast, and I love using it. It's a really great experience. So if you haven't tried it out yet, I highly recommend you going over and picking up Firefox. You can get it at mozilla.org. All right, next we have a little story for those of you over in Europe, specifically the United Kingdom. The European Union is investigating iTunes pricing. Apparently, there's some allegations that iTunes users in the United Kingdom paid more for iTunes music than users in France or Germany. They're alleging that France and Germany iTunes Music Store users paid 99 euros, which apparently translates to $1.31 US for iTunes music, while UK customers had to pay 79 pence, which translates to $1.51 per song. So they're looking into it. They're seeing if there's anything, the European Union is seeing if there's anything they need to do about it, and whether they need to move forward with some sort of compensation for UK customers. So hang in there for that if you feel that you paid too much for your iTunes. Okay, lately on the MacCast, we've been talking a lot about switchers and switching. I know we have a lot of PC users listening to the podcast who maybe recently switched to the Mac or are thinking about switching. And my prediction has been that this year we're going to see a huge amount of customers switching to the Macintosh from the PC. And to further kind of support my argument, there's an analyst over at Needham & Company, his name's Charlie Wolf, and he's predicting that 11% of all Windows users who own an iPod are going to actually switch to the Mac or purchase a Macintosh this year. And, you know, knowing how many people actually have iPods and the share of iPods, that's a huge number of customers. So I'd love to see that. We always love to have more Mac users on board. It really helps our community grow and become stronger. So welcome aboard if you're a switcher, and we're looking forward to getting more of you throughout the year. So I'm not sure if this next report is really going to surprise anybody, but I'm going to cover it because it is Macintosh news or Macintosh-related news. Both Seagate and Hitachi have announced that they have 6 gigabyte 1-inch drives. Well, surprise, surprise. Since we have 6 gigabyte iPod minis, those drives had to come from somewhere. Seagate's is actually out now, so I'm assuming that's the one that is available in the current model of Mac, current model of iPod mini, and Hitachi's is due out later this year, so Apple should have a steady, ready supply of 6 gigabyte drives for their iPod minis. So the next thing I'm going to cover is a little annoyance for me, or has been an annoyance for me, and I was actually wondering about this myself. I hadn't gone far enough to actually go into researching it, and I guess a lot of people recently have been blaming this issue on Apple's OS 10.3.8 update, but it actually isn't a problem there. And what it is if you've been browsing the internet recently and noticed that even though you have your pop-up blocker on, when you go to close some of your browser windows, you see an ad underneath everything. So you're wondering kind of what's going on. It wasn't necessarily a pop-up, not an ad that popped up in front of your browser, but you suddenly have this ad at a lower level underneath all your browser windows. And actually what it is pop-under ads. I guess these are new kinds of ads that advertisers have figured out how to use to get around pop-up blockers. And it doesn't affect just Safari or the Macintosh. It affects multiple browsers on multiple platforms. So it has nothing to do with the 10.3.8 update, if that's what you were thinking. And it's affecting more than one browser. So, You know, for every time we figure out how to get advertisers out of our lives, they figure out a way to weasel back in. And, you know, I think it's awful. I think it's horrible. You know, if we have our pop-up blocker turned on, it's obvious we don't want to get your ads. So don't try and force your message into our faces. I hate it. It's just a big pet peeve of mine. If you're an advertiser and you're using tactics like this, please just stop, okay? It's annoying. I don't want your ads. If you do it to me, I'm going to boycott your product. So just cut it out, okay? Don't do it. That's all I'm going to say. Okay, I just have two little more fun things to mention on the news, and then we'll get into listener comments and feedback. One is a new product that I just saw, and I think it's kind of really cool, a lot of fun. There's a company called Big Tiki, and they're making a USB storage device. And what it is it looks like a big, happy tiki doll, tiki idol. And what's really cool is it's got these glowing eyes and comes in a bunch of different sizes. They have a 256 megabyte model for $59, a 512 megabyte model for $79, a 1 gigabyte model for $119. 2 gigabytes will cost you $229, and they have a large 4 gigabyte model that's $429. And it ships with a lighted USB cable. They call it a lava USB cable, available in red, white, or blue. The eyes actually glow in red. I'm not sure what material it's made out of. From the looks in the picture, it's brown. It looks like it's wood. It may be plastic, but just a really cool-looking little tiki idol that also doubles as a USB storage device. So there's a link from the show notes. Check it out if you're interested in sort of a novelty USB storage device. Last thing to mention tonight is someone's birthday. I want to say happy birthday to Steve Jobs, who turns 50 today. So happy birthday, Steve. Hope you had a good one. So, all right, we're about 26 minutes into the show and just getting around to listener comments and feedback, but I've got kind of some great comments from a bunch of listeners. I got an email from a listener, Jeff, and it was concerning my comment or the listener's comment on iPod pricing and feeling that he was a little ripped off with the iPod Photo price drops. And Jeff mentioned something that you may want to look into if you're worried about technology and prices changing on you so quickly. You know, my opinion on it, I think I mentioned in the last show, is if you're an early adopter, chances are the prices are going to drop within a relatively short time frame. It's just a fact of life. Any consumer electronics or any computer system you buy is going to be cheaper within 6 months. So it's, you know, unfortunate, and I know it's kind of frustrating, but it just happens. But Jeff recommended that you might want to look into credit card buyer protection programs, and most credit cards offer this. He says that he uses Amex's one, and he's been very, very happy with it and had great success. And basically, they'll cover, guarantee the pricing for up to 3 months from the time you purchase it. So if within 3 months of the time period that you buy your product, the price drops, they will actually refund you the difference. And all you need to do is fill out some simple paperwork, send it in. He said he's had nothing but excellent experience with Amex's customer service people and them crediting his money. It does take a little while, a few months, to actually get the credit, but they've done it every time for him, and he's had it happen with his iPod and with his Macintosh systems, so it's made him very happy. The other great benefit that he also mentioned is they'll also extend your warranty coverage. And I guess with American Express, they actually double the manufacturer's warranty. So, you know, a new iPod comes with a one-year warranty from Apple. American Express will actually double that warranty by default if you're a participant in their buyer protection program. So that's something you might want to look into if you're really concerned about the prices or the price is dropping on you right after you purchase a new computer system or electronics product. Next thing I have is listener Joe. He has some issues that he's having with his CD burner, and I'll let him tell you all about it. He needs some help, and maybe someone out there will know the answer to his question, and we can help him out.
Hi, Adam. It's Joe. First comment I wanted to make was about your question about the show notes. They are greatly appreciated by me. I would imagine many listeners enjoy them, especially since I'm using the podcast tuner that actually downloads the show notes right to my iPod. Very easy to read and reference on the go while I'm traveling. Yeah, the question I have pertains to the PowerBook Titanium 667 megahertz model. I've been using for about 3 years now. Excellent machine. The issue I have is with the combo driver. I was wondering if you or any of the listeners had this same problem. When I play a burned DVD minus R that has MPEG or AV files and video, I can't burn another CD unless I restart the machine. It plays CDs. This issue is not with regular purchased DVDs like movies and things of that nature. The audio CDs or any other CDs all play fine. The problem I have is when I go to burn a CD after I've watched a movie or something that was burned on a DVD minus R. So I was wondering if anybody had any comments on that or any workarounds or anything like that. Once I do restart the machine, it's fine. The CDs can't be burned through the Finder or through Toast or iTunes or anything of that nature. The error I get is just that the CD has failed to be burned with all the ampersands and percent marks, whatever that coding might be. Any comments on that would be appreciated. Thanks a lot.
All right, so just to clarify, Joe has a PowerBook with a combo drive, and anytime he inserts a DVD-R and plays it on his system, and then ejects that, and then goes to try and burn a CD, CDR, I would assume, or CDRW, he's unable to do so. He gets errors until he actually reboots his system, and then it works fine. I did some searching around online, and I couldn't find an answer to this. If anybody out there does know the answer, please email me, backcast@gmail.com, so we can forward the answer on to Joe. And I'm sure he and myself will really appreciate it. Next, I have another problem from a listener that I was unable to figure out the solution to. It comes from James. And James needs to know about sending attachments in Entourage to PC users. He's running OS 10.3.8, and he's using Entourage, but every time he sends a PowerPoint or a Word attachment to a PC user, they come across to the PC user as a .dat file, a .dat file. And he is making sure to include the extension in the file name on his Macintosh, but when he sends them through Entourage, they're showing up on the PC in .dat, and the people who are receiving his attachments are unable to use them. I'm not sure what's going on here. I personally use Mac Mail and don't really have any issues with it. The one thing I could recommend to James is that he zips his attachments before he sends them. So just from the Finder, I believe, if you right-click and choose Make Archive of the file, it'll actually convert it to a zip file and then attach that and send it to your PC user. Otherwise, I don't know a fix for the issue you're having, or I'm not sure what the issue is. He would like an answer. If anybody out there does know, send me an email, mattcast@gmail.com, and I will forward that answer to James. And again, both he and I will really appreciate it. All right, last thing for this evening is some audio feedback from Ken. He had a little question about something I mentioned on a previous MacCast.
Hello, Adam. This is Ken Cavanaugh in Cleveland, Ohio. First, I just want to say I love the MacCast. I've been listening consistently since I got an iPod Mini for Christmas. I had a question regarding the Mini. You mentioned in an earlier podcast that some of the Minis that were delivered around Christmas time may have a 5 GB Seagate drive inside of them. And I was curious to know if anybody out there is aware of any type of firmware hack that would take advantage of the 5 GB drive, if it is in fact inside the iPod Mini. Right now it seems to be a rumor. I've seen it in a lot of the forums. I haven't seen any official news on that. But if you or any other listener knows anything about it, gosh, I'd love to know about it and install it and take advantage of it. Again, love the podcast and keep up the good work. Thanks.
So I'm kind of with Ken on this one. A couple things. First, I would want to know, has anybody confirmed the rumor that there are actually 5 GB Seagate drives that are firmware disabled to only display 4 GB currently in some of the iPod Mini models? And then the second thing would be, how can you confirm if you have one of those drives in your iPod Mini? And then the last thing is obviously, if you do have one of those drives in your iPod mini and it's actually true, is there any way to hack the firmware so that you can actually get access to the full 5 gigabytes on that drive? So if anybody out there knows, I know there's a lot of good technical people out there, how to do this or can confirm these rumors, I'd really appreciate hearing from you. Send an audio comment or email to maccast@gmail.com. Whew, that's going to do it. We actually had a big, long show. Tons of stuff covered today. Hopefully everybody appreciates it or appreciated it. As always, if you need to get in contact with me, I'm available via email. Send MP3 audio comments or text emails to maccast@gmail.com. You can always call the voicemail hotline if you want to leave an audio comment but don't want to deal with setting up recording gear, having to put together an MP3, 206-222-2788, 20-MACCAST-8, very easy to remember. Visit the website, maccast@gmail.com, for the full show notes and details on and links for everything I talked about in the show, as well as I'm posting up there pictures of listener setups and other interesting things that I think you might want to take a look at. Finally, I'm going to leave you tonight with music from a friend of the show. We've played him a couple times before, Jim Bryson. This track is called Impaler, and you can visit him at jimbryson.org. Hope you enjoy the music, and I will see you all next time.
Set to break all the little girls' hearts, tune your guitar.